With 2 months to go until the midterm, social media companies are getting ready. Think fact checks, voting information centers, and a lot more. NPR's Shannon Bond joins us now. Shannon, okay, so what have we heard so far from the big tech platforms?
Well, on the whole, this is a pretty familiar playbook from 2020. So these companies are going to be boosting authoritative information from local election officials, reputable news outlets. So, for example, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok all have dedicated pages where you can find out who your local candidates are and how to vote. And then on the flip side, they are tamping down misleading or false claims about voting or posts that undermine confidence in the election, including the big lie that Donald Trump won in 2020. And so across these apps, especially Facebook and Twitter, we're going to see the return of labels on posts with misleading or false claims. In some cases, they don't let people share these posts to limit their reach. And then in some other cases, they'll even remove some of these claims. So YouTube says, you know, it's going to just take down videos that break its rules against making false claims about the results in 2020. And then finally, these apps are all taking different approaches to political ads. So Twitter and TikTok ban them entirely. Facebook allows them, but it's going to have a freeze on new political ads the week before Election Day. But look, hey, even defining political ads isn't that straightforward. You know, broadly, we're talking about ads for candidates and about political issues, but there's a lot of room to interpret what exactly that means.
All right, Shannon, all this sounds just grand, but how effective is this?
Well, that's the big question. And the short answer is, in many cases, we don't know. So take labels, right, a big part of these policies. There's mixed evidence about whether labeling false claims helps dispel false impressions or if it, in some cases, actually encourages people to double down on these beliefs. Now, Twitter says it has redesigned its misleading information labels and found more people were clicking through to read accurate information. On the other hand, Facebook says it's going to be more choosy about, you know, what post it chooses to label, says users felt it put too many labels on posts last time around. And then, crucially, we also don't know how well the companies actually enforce these policies. I spoke to Katie Harbath, a former public policy director at Facebook.
To me, that is a huge gap that we don't talk enough about, because the companies are like, these are our policies, these are all the things that we're going to do, but they don't talk enough about, like, okay, but, you know, humans are fallible, the technology is not 100% perfect.
So even if you do have the right policies in place and tools that work, are you using them effectively? So back in 2020, that didn't always seem to be the case, right? After the election, Stop the Steal groups popped up on Facebook, falsely claiming Trump had won. That was against Facebook's rules. Facebook removed the initial group, but it didn't take down other groups. Ultimately, that fueled the conspiracies that ended up with Trump supporters breaching the Capitol.
Are there any signs the platforms maybe have learned from what happened 2 years ago?
Many researchers who study the platforms say generally these companies are just very reactive, right? They end up playing whack-a-mole with false claims. They treat elections as these discrete events that happen, they put policies in place, and then they turn off those policies when the election is over. But look, this year we have Republican candidates for office, even people who could be in charge of running elections in some states, still falsely claiming Trump won in 2020. So the big challenge for these companies is, can they prevent their platforms from being used to spread these kinds of falsehoods so widely in the first place?
And just a note, Facebook's parent company Meta pays NPR to license NPR content. That's NPR's Shannon Bond. Shannon, thanks.
Thank you.